Let's get definitions right. You don't want to bring Russia back to the table. You just want Russia at the table to sing your song, have a view you want. That's what this is all about. That's what you're attempting to do very poorly to do because you can't. You don't have the leverage. You don't have the resources. You don't have the capacity. Russia does. And how much longer they're going to stay holding their nose and being restrained in how they respond, we don't know. I get the feeling that there are some in the West that want Russia to lose their restraint and then to strike deeper inside Europe outside of Ukraine borders. I think that some want a war. I think they have some fantastical, twisted idea that they can maybe keep it from, not maybe, that they can keep it from going to nuclear. And they think, you know, yeah, this would help. We could just get a contained war, just get a little bit, then we'll see. Now everybody will finally get on board, and then that will have that we'll push Russia back. And then that's just detached from reality thinking. It is bizarre. It is incredibly dangerous, should anybody be feeling that way. And unfortunately, because of the actions, we have to conclude that there may well be people in positions of authority in the West that are thinking exactly that way and putting all of our lives at risk in the process. All the regular people who are not crazy and who are not looking at things in a twisted and perverted way. Things that reality, truth on the ground. That's what we're looking at here. And then one final thing I want to show you that I talked about missile math. It's not working for the Ukraine. Well, neither is manpower math.
The morale problem on the Ukraine side is desperate, as are the casualties. We've seen, you know, since start of January in 2025, when the government of Russia, government of Ukraine agreed to exchange the bodies of dead soldiers.
Yeah,
it's worked out to an average that for every dead Russian soldier returned to the control of the Russian government, Russia is turning back 35 to 45 dead Ukrainians.
Wow.
Now,
40 to 1 odds.
Yes. Now, here's where we get into this interesting analytical contradiction. On the one hand, Western analysts, you know, General Ben Hodges, General David Petraeus, General Jack Keane, Admiral Stavridis, they're all saying, oh, Russia's doing really bad. They're barely making any progress. It's really slow on the front. And then when you point out those odds of bodies, they say, well, the reason that's happening is the Russians are moving so fast that the Ukrainians don't have time to recover the bodies. And you go, okay, which is it? Is it slow
or is it fast?
pick one or the other, but you can't have both.
Yeah, but they do try to have both. They try to have both virtually every day. And again, we aren't dealing with reality. We aren't dealing with the truth on the ground. We're dealing with preferences and what we would like to be true, no matter how many Ukrainian bodies keep piling up, because we seem unconcerned about that. And now it seems that we're unconcerned about oil refineries in our own allied countries being blown up. I mean, so far this morning, this has just happened overnight, so we'll see what kind of reactions come later. But at least initially, I haven't seen any kind of emergency meetings that would need to be convened, that the United States is very alarmed about this development. Nothing at all. I mean, there should be a lot of diplomatic activity going on that focused on the West of saying, we ain't doing this. I don't know who did this, but you damn sure better stop, like right now. We are not going to be eating our own here, because that, even if you don't do it because it's morally right, you can do it because that will shatter any kind of unity you have and drive people further and further apart and more fragmentation. And that would only help your adversary, because I assure you, they are very, very cohesive formed. Now, obviously, it's just one country. They don't have to worry about any kind of allies here. That's what we should be doing, but it's not what we're doing, at least not what I've seen so far. I even wonder if Trump's going to pay any attention. But then the question is going to be, where is this going to go then? Because if now then this meeting is off the table, because at least the Sergey Lavrov Marco Rubio meeting was supposed to happen, at least was penciled in on the 30th of October. Now, it doesn't look like even that's going to happen. And of course, if that doesn't happen, then there's definitely not going to be a meeting in Budapest between Putin and Trump. And there shouldn't be one unless there's something to agree on. And I saw earlier this morning a statement from a Kremlin spokesman who said there's no point in having these meetings unless we first have done the hard diplomatic work behind the scenes about agreeing what's going to be agreed to. That used to just be like diplomacy 101. I mean, everyone understood that. That's just the entry point. Of course, you're going to have low-level delegations that work together behind the scenes, out of the spotlight, no cameras, no microphones, and to say, all right, where are we going to go here? What can we work on? And then if they can come to something that's just even close, then they can bring the principals in and they can maybe close the deal. Then we got a shot at something. But when you don't even have these conversations here, and of course, President Trump is infamously not worried about details. Well, look, that can work, man. That can work if you're talking about the United States and I want a ballroom. I'm going to get a ballroom and I'm going to bring a tractor in and just start tearing the building apart. Hypothetically, of course, you can do that because you own the territory. You can just give an order and they're going to get it done. You can just give an order to your ICE and tell them they're going to go into one city or another. You can give an order to your National Guard. You can just order them to go there and they're going to go because that's how the system is set up. However much people might not like it, that is the system. And for the most part, he's operating within his constitutional restraints. Other places he's not. But even that, though, is in the country here. And as long as people obey that, then it can work out. None of that applies outside of our border. Once you get overseas and you're talking about another sovereign country, Russia, they will not do what they are told. And they are not going to take action antithetical to their national interests. They're simply not going to do it, however much you may wish it, however much you may try to put pressure on there. That's from Trump. Or if you're the European Union and you're going to try to compel Russia to do what you're bidding from a position of weakness, and then somehow in your mind you think that that's going to work? I mean, that's bizarre. That is a problem. And one of the things I've been studying here of late, and I just keep getting more and more alarmed, I've been studying the real intricate details that led up to World War One. And we should never, I don't know how much you're aware of it, but we should never have been in World War One. That assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand should never have resulted in a world war. At the most, it should have been maybe the Fourth Balkan War or something, or a war between Serbia and Austro-Hungary. That's at the worst of it should have been. And even that shouldn't have been. But the fact that it turned into this much, much bigger thing were because people were foolish. They weren't thinking and they were just reacting to a lot of things. And they were just using a lot of the mental constructs that had already existed. And they just drifted or sleptwalked right into war. And we're doing something, I think, worse this time, because much of the problem that happened in 1914 was because of the poor communications capabilities and people couldn't react quickly enough. Or they didn't have enough advanced information that they needed to make decisions. And then they made them in the absence of, which turned out to be contradictory to what they would have done otherwise. And then here we're in war. This time, obviously, every bit of communication exists across the globe, in your hand. Everybody's got it. Nobody's without it at any time. You can get, especially as a head of state or somebody in the high offices of government, can get whatever they need in an instant. It's not knowledge and information that's the problem. It's the capacity to process it that's the problem. And we've got too many people not believing their own eyes about what they see on the ground, not believing what's absolute reality on the ground because they keep thinking too many leaders. All we got to do is just force it on the ground. We can create our own reality because they've had too many experiences where they could do that. When things weren't working the way they wanted, they can just muddle through it or just coerce somebody into doing something where eventually it would work out. Or even when it didn't, what's the big deal? Take Afghanistan, for example. That was a complete disaster strategically. But, I mean, other than embarrassment and some bad TV and some bad political fodder back and forth between the two sides here since 2021, world didn't fall apart. Our national security wasn't impacted. Hardly anybody in America even knew about it. That's the danger of having a disaster like this, where you try to, for 20 years, both parties in the United States continued to pretend everything was going good. Every time they were in charge, things are working now. So those other guys, until the other guys got in, and then they said the same things, and it was never true. And you get this mentality in that you can just massage this with words until you get what you want. And then if it doesn't work out, wash your hands and move on. That's just how it works. And with something like the Taliban, who can't do anything about it anyway, that can you can muddle through that and not have any real consequence. But you have now formed this mental construct in this pattern that can't distinguish between the ones that don't work or can't work and the ones that could end in catastrophe. And that is one of the things I worry about, is the entire Western leadership elite right now, primarily, with a few exceptions. Thankfully, there are some, but for the majority of them, they're not able to disentangle themselves from these bad processes that they've developed over years. And now you come up with this immovable object in the Russians that aren't going to be the Taliban. They're not going to be Vietnam, folks. They're not going to be the insurgency in Iraq. These guys have the substantial capacity to fight back. And if you keep pushing a bad situation, you may find out firsthand and in your face. And that will be bad for Russia. That would be bad for Ukraine. It would be bad for Europe. It would be bad for mankind. Everybody would lose in that. And I'm not even talking about if it goes nuclear. That's self-evident. I'm just talking about if it stayed conventional. If we muddle ourselves and stumble ourselves into a war because of our abject unwillingness to acknowledge reality, everybody is going to lose. And I pray that we never get to that point. And I certainly hope that with shows like this, with some of our other colleagues in this arena that are telling the truth, I hope that enough people finally start paying attention. I'm talking about regular people. We've seen this No King's Day where 7 million people protested in a single day in the United States. That was a blip in the screen, but it also shows that people are starting to wake up. And if they get motivated in the right way, things can change. And that's certainly my hope for that. Appreciate you guys very much. We'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Daniel Data's Deep Dive.